Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me on the line right now is Associate Professor, Geneticist and Clinical Researcher at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Colleen Elders. Good morning and thank you so much for the time.
Good morning, it's a pleasure.
Okay, so the ivermectin interest group, why was it necessary to start a group?
Well, we found that there was a lot of information that was being released, and there were also a lot of people who were a little bit extremist about it, calling it a wonder drug and building up a lot of hope around it. So we decided to actually look at the research and find out what was happening in the research. And we looked at the meta-analyses that have happened in the last few months. We've looked at all the research that's come out, and we are collating it. We've got people in our group collating the research as it comes out. The research is compelling at both prophylactic and treatment level. There's a lot of research coming out. The problem is ivermectin is out of patent. It's an old drug that was designed in the 70s, started being used in humans in the 80s. So it can be made cheaply anywhere in the world. And there's no one big pharmaceutical company that would have any financial interest in running huge big pharmaceutical trials. So what people have been doing recently is taking those randomized control trials and other research and doing meta-analysis, which is taking the results from smaller trials and putting the data together and coming up with some conclusions. And we're not able to come to big conclusions just yet. But as a group, we are watching, and the analogy I used is we're standing between two rivers. One river is called scientific rigor, and that's where the criticisms have been leveled at, but scientific rigor has gone out the window in many endeavors in the last year because we're in a pandemic. We're in a crisis. And the other river would be called human desperation, the need to stop people from dying, to make people better, to make sure our healthcare workers don't get sick. And we're waiting, possibly for the WHO this month to come out with a statement where they've got a meta-analysis. They're halfway through it. They're waiting for some more numbers, but currently the results are compelling. There's a very good response prophylactically, and there's a curative rate.
All right. So I've got so many questions around this. Colleen, South Africa did their own research. The South African National Department of Health evidence summary for a component COVID-19. This was published on the 21st of December. I'm sure you're aware of the document and of the research. The research question was, should ivermectin be used for managing COVID-19 patients compared to no intervention or an alternative intervention? So they've got their key findings, which I'm not going to go through now, but their recommendation was, we suggest not to use the option or to use the alternative, and that is conditional. Why would that be the recommendation?
I don't think they looked at all the trials. I think they saw a few trials. They only found a few trials. And they've misrepresented some of the data. They looked at Martin Gill's work, Andrew Hill's work, and Andrew Hill has been working with the WHO. And I don't think that work that they did at that time was adequate. There's a lot more research out there, a lot more compelling research. And I do believe that they should revise. They should go back, and we'll help them. We've been keeping all the literature. We've got people taking the literature into databases on a daily basis. We'll help because the research is now out there, and it is compelling.
Yeah. You know, as a layperson, if I look at the side effects of drugs with ivermectin, you know, you're talking about dizziness, you're talking about, it can cause drowsiness, it can cause diarrhea, and it can cause nausea. Those are really your side effects. There's nothing fatal. I don't think anyone's ever died from ivermectin. So why not take the chance and just release it? If it helps one person, surely it's worth doing.
Well, that's why I'm hoping that SAHPRA and the National Department of Health are going to start thinking more along the lines of beneficence rather than being completely skeptical. I've looked in the literature for side effects. I'm not a clinician. I must be open about that right now, but I've looked in the literature. The side effects are mild and the adverse effects are very rare. If people are on warfarin, they must be very careful. They should be taking this drug under the care of their doctors. So we need this drug to be legalized so that people can start taking it legally and not on the black market as some people are doing now, which could be dangerous.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what else I think is that, I mean, I've seen videos of farmers taking their deworming medicines for cattle. Because that is how they are able to access it. I mean, it's completely illegal, but, it's hugely concerning. Are they taking the right doses? How do they know that it's the right dose? You know, it's not, it's made for cattle. It's not necessarily made for humans. So we definitely need those human trials. I think it's Andrew Hill who's going to be publishing. Is it Andrew Hill who's going to be publishing his research? He's got research going, and sometime in January, he should be releasing that research.
Andrew Hill has been looking at the meta-analysis of the randomized control studies and looking at the treatment. He hasn't been looking at prophylaxis, as far as I know. And if you look at his data from the 27th of December, where there were about 1,700 patients or 1,456 patients in 11 trials, the data was amazing. It was showing a 43% higher rate of reversal of disease and 83% improvement in survival. So that is only looking at 11 trials with 1,456 trials. I think he says he's waiting until he can get trial information to add up to 3,000 patients, and then the WHO can confidently make a statement that looks at the scientific rigor as well as efficacy.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Okay, so is the ivermectin interest group for anybody who wants to get involved, who is perhaps a clinician or a medical specialist or a scientist, and they want to get involved, can they get involved with this ivermectin interest group? Or is this a very specific group of scientists that is really just close to anybody else?
No, we're not close to anybody else. We're currently a small group, but we consider ourselves middle-of-the-road thinkers. We are not going to get overexcited about people talking about wonder drugs, etc. We want to look at research. Along with that, we want to make sure that the research comes out to the government very quickly so that patients can benefit if there is a benefit.
Yeah.
So we're not a closed group, and there are two of us have taken the lead. There's myself and Dr. Yakub as well. And he's very busy. He's a clinician. I'm on leave at the moment, so I've got a lot more time. But people can email me, and I'll certainly engage with anybody who's interested. We need to do clinical trials. We need to get Section 21 use of this drug out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very, very much for speaking to us while you are on leave. Look, something
this is more important than a holiday.
100%. Look, that doesn't help us. So say the government says, well, it's fine. You know, we're going to license it. Even though, and we're going to use the overseas metadata or the overseas trials, and that information. What's the next step? I mean, can then any pharmaceutical company start producing ivermectin? I mean, you can go get the recipe online. I was Googling it, it's there.
Any proper pharmaceutical company can start making it. SAHPRA has got to allow the importation of the raw materials, and we've got to start making it. And personally, I believe we should start that now, because the WHO statement should be out by the end of this month. And by the time the WHO says ivermectin is effective in the treatment of COVID, we should have it ready.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the rollout? Because it's actually much cheaper than the vaccine.
It's ridiculously cheap. Yeah. I've heard of nothing over 10 rand a capsule.
Yeah.
I've heard 1 rand a capsule, 6 rand a capsule. On the black market, I've heard 2,000 rand a tablet, which I think is immoral.
That's shocking.
But that's, you know, if people are going to be hard-handed, the black market will thrive.
Yeah. Listen, if it helps one person, what's the harm? You know, it's on the list of the World Health Organization's essential medicines. It won the Nobel Prize. There's no reason why it shouldn't be legal. here in South Africa. It's
there's no reason. It's on the WHO list of essential medicines.
Yeah.
So I must admit, I was surprised to find that we only have it on Section 21 use for scabies and some other uses in South Africa, that it's not a generally available drug. It's only in veterinary products. And I believe all veterinary products have been taken off the shelves now, I think, to prevent people going to take that.
Yeah, so I actually spoke to a vet 2 days ago, and she said that they received, communication from SAMPRA, who's the medical or the medicinal regulator, just I'm telling our listeners, and, they were told that they're not allowed to prescribe it for in any circumstances other than for animals. If they do, they will lose their veterinary licenses. And it's actually criminal charges. It's ridiculous, but I understand the need because it's, in this case, it's a very safe drug, but what if it's not? So I do understand the need for that. Anyway, Colleen, how do we get in touch with you if we want to get involved with this?
You've got my email address.
Yes.
People can email me. You can go colleenaldis@gmail.com.
Okay.
I think that's probably the easiest.
Okay.
I'll respond to emails.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you for the time. Enjoy the rest of your leave.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Professor Colleen Aldis. And she is from the Ivermectin Interest Group. You can actually go and Google them and get in touch. So, who they are and what their interests are. So this is what they say. We are a group who are advocating for the principles of good critical science and flexibility of thought to be applied in looking at potential treatments in a pandemic where our resources are exhausted and or under considerable strain. We are not dismissive of any treatment that has shown benefit in treating COVID-19, but examine evidence to inform evidence-based medicine. And hopefully they will be working with the government on that.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.